Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And we are back here, 7:05 here on The Fan. I am Susan Waldman, and it was 10 years ago today that George Steinbrenner left this earth. And so we've been having a kind of tribute to George, the good and the bad and all of the stuff in between, because there would be nobody like him. We've already talked to Buck Showalter, of course, and Joel Sherman of The New York Post. And you know what, Paul, play this little cut. Mr. Steinbrenner, you remember Mr. Barra.
Yes, Barra, we remember Mr.
Steinbrenner. It's been 14 years since you gentlemen have talked to each other. First of all, does he look the same? Does George look the same?
Yeah, he hasn't changed a bit.
He's gray.
He had that before, too.
And he's helped do that to me.
And he had those sideburns. Remember those awful sideburns?
Well, never mind, Susan. This isn't a style show.
This isn't a style show. George Steinbrenner, you know, and one of the greatest days I ever had, and I think it was just a wonderful day for Yankee fans everywhere, was the day that George Steinbrenner and Yogi Berra made up. And I always talk about this thing, and I always say, well, you know, I didn't know Yogi. I met him once at Mel Allen's funeral. The Rizzutos introduced me. I said hello. It was very nice. And I talked only to Dale Berra, and I've never really talked to Dale Berra after this, what happened, and I thought it would be fun for us to go through what actually happened before that great, great reunion, and because the only person I knew in the Berra family that I talked to was Dale Berra, of course, first-round pick of the Pittsburgh Pirates back in 1975, 10 years in the big leagues, including 2 years with the New York Yankees, and joining us from New Jersey, and I think you're in New Jersey, is Dale Berra. How are you, my friend?
Very good, Susan. Nice to talk with you.
And thank you for coming on. You know what? I got to ask you before we get to George and Yogi, because that was so great for everybody and such a great thing that it worked out. You're the first round pick of the Pittsburgh Pirates back in 75. And, you know, you can't get away from that last name. And you're Yogi Berra's son. And I've talked to so many guys who are sons of Hall of Famers, stars, whatever. What kind of pressure is that on you to be Yogi Berra's son?
You know, it's an amazing thing, Susan. I speak to many sons of athletes, and they do feel a lot of pressure from their last name. Willie Stargell's son felt a lot of pressure. I know the Mantle kids felt a lot of pressure. For some reason, the way my mom and dad raised Larry, Timmy, and I can truthfully say that we did not feel pressure having the last name of Berra. And I think it was because of the way Dad raised us. I felt far more pressure from being a first-round draft pick. And there's enough pressure just playing in games and doing the things that you have to do on the field and growing up, that the last name Berra never bothered me, never weighed heavy on me. All I could do was be the best I could be, and it was because of the way Dad raised us. He was a unique blend of humility and confidence, and he did it without trying. And that's the way he raised us, and that's the way my mom raised us. I'm truly blessed to not feel pressure from my last name. I'll never use it as an excuse.
you know, amazing people, your mom and dad. And when you got to the Yankees, I always thought that's kind of an interesting thing anyway, because 85, you get to the Yankees. There's your dad there. You're traded over there. What was that like for you to come over here and your dad is the manager and you don't know what's going to happen pretty soon? But, what is that like for you to walk in there as a member of the Yankees with your father there?
Well, it's a dream. I mean, you know, having the opportunity to play for your dad on the New York Yankees, I mean, come on, it doesn't get any better than that. And once again, you know, the whole, you know, the pressure of being Yogi Berra's son, it didn't dawn on me at all, except, you know, Ron Guidry lightened the clubhouse up for me very much and made me feel part of the Yankees. In one of the first clubhouse meetings, the first day of spring training, I had a question to ask Dad as he addressed the team. So I said, Skip, I have a question for you. And before I got the question out of my mouth, Ron Guidry stood up and said, that man is not the Skip to you. That's your dad. You call him Dad, always. We know what he is to you. So that really helped a lot. It was a dream come true.
Oh, that's amazing, because I had Ron was on, I guess it was Sunday. It was the anniversary. So we're looking for stuff to put on the air because there's no games. So this day in Yankees history, July 12th, yesterday, it was the day that Ron retired in 1989. So we had him on the phone, and he's talking about your dad way back when he first got up and how your dad helped him, all that. So this story I did not know. That's amazing. And people didn't know about the relationship between your dad and Ron till a lot later, you know, with the driving Mr. Yogi and everything. But mm-hmm. but Guidry did that. That's why they had so many leaders in that particular clubhouse. Maybe not so much. They were starting to go away when you got there. But that whole group was so great. And I'd never heard that story before. That's wonderful. That is absolutely
right. Guidry, let me tell you something. Guidry was a Willie Randolph. They were absolute marvelous gems to have on your team and in the clubhouse with you. They were the old guard, and whatever Ron Guidry and Willie Randolph said, that, you know, that was the law.
When all right, let's get to this day, because I pulled out some of the things that I had read about this day, and it was, and I guess you guys were in Chicago. Yankees played at Comiskey Park, and you came into the clubhouse and after the game, and you said that there were guys cursing, and somebody said to you, go into your dad's office. You want to take it from there?
Well, that was a terrible day. You know, we had a hell of a team. You know, we had Ricky Henderson was hurt. Mattingly was playing on one leg. We were going to win. There was no doubt about that. We had some bad luck. And, of course, George said before the season started that Yogi would manage the team all year. But he didn't care about that. Dad knew when you manage a team, you're hired to be fired. So he had no – you know, he didn't even have a problem getting fired. But on that day, I know that, you know – I went into the clubhouse and I saw the guys upset and crying. I saw Don Baylor turn the spread over, and I saw Mattingly turn over garbage cans, and I saw Guidry crying. And they said, go in and see your dad. So I went into the office and I said, Dad, what are you doing? He goes, I'm going home, son. And I said, we're going home? What are you talking about? And he goes, yep, I'm going home. Billy's the manager now. He's like a father to you. He's like a father to you. You play for him like you did for me, and everything will be great. You'll have a great time here. You got your whole life ahead of you, and don't be worried about me. I'm playing golf tomorrow. So here's a man who just got fired and was completely not worried about himself. He wanted me to not be worried. He told me, Dale, don't worry about a thing. I'm fine. He said, tomorrow I'm going to be playing golf. And you do know the amazing story, Susan, and that, you know,
about
how
the
many
bus.
Fired managers get on the team bus.
Yep, yep.
And actually ride the bus to the airport with the team sitting in the manager's seat, get off the bus, grabbed their bags from underneath the bus and literally waved goodbye to the team to a standing ovation from the team sitting on the bus. I mean, it was quite an amazing thing. Only Dad could have, you know, would have gotten onto a team bus after he was fired, and literally he told the guys, "You were a great team. Billy's a great manager, and you guys will win." That's Dad's last words to the team. Not worried about himself.
Well, that is so Yogi. And by the way, Don Mattingly, when he wears number 8 as a manager, he does it for one reason. And it was Yogi, he thought, that really, well, he adored Yogi, just adored him.
Absolutely.
And you know that. So that's 85, and you're there. And so when did this all... Did Yogi decide right then he was never going to come back because of, and we didn't know what it was. I knew something was he didn't like, but we never really knew what that was, why Yogi was mad, or George said he didn't know. But when did Yogi decide he wasn't going to come back to Yankee Stadium?
Well, let me tell you, Susan, as I said, Dad always knew that in baseball, he always said, you're hired to be fired. So he could have cared less that he was fired. He knew that we had a bad start, and I'm not going to say he didn't care. He couldn't care.
No,
of course he cared, but you know what I mean. He understood that George had the right to fire him, and Dad didn't think a thing of it. But there's another very, very influential person in his life, and you know who that is. Her name is Carmen Barra.
Mm-hmm.
And Carmen Barra thought that Dad was embarrassed. That George embarrassed Dad. So my mom is the one that told my dad, you will never go back to Yankee Stadium again, because that man didn't have the courage to fire you himself in person. And that was the only reason that Dad stayed away from Yankee Stadium, not because he was fired. He was upset that George didn't call him himself and tell him. If you remember the year before, when my father had a spat with George and told him, I'm going to play Mattingly, I'm going to play Pagliarulo, and I'm going to play Meacham, and if you don't like it, fire me. He went up to George's office himself to tell him that. He didn't send a coach or an intermediary. Right. Dad, when he handled his business, he did it eye to eye. He thought George should have phoned him, or if he was in Chicago, gone to see him himself and not had someone had tell Dad like it ended up happening.
Okay, we're going to flash forward a little bit. And, of course, I'm talking to Dale Barra, and we're going to move to that night in 1999. And it was stopping and starting, because remember, I was talking to you and the governor, and we were going to do that, and George was going to come to New Jersey and apologize, and then the governor of Florida died, and so we canceled it, and we're going to do it another day. And there was one thing that you had said to me, and I remember that, and because I didn't know Yogi, and I just didn't want George to come up all the way out here and be embarrassed, and I didn't know this was going to work. Remember, we couldn't tell anybody? You know, we were talking.
We couldn't tell anybody. You did a tremendous job, because Dad would have, you know, you had to make sure that that end was going to happen, the George end.
Well, my career was going to be over if it didn't. So, but I remember saying to you, you had said to me once, I said, he's going to come up here, and you said to me, well, how do you know he's going to apologize? And I said, you think he's coming up here 2,000 miles in the dead of winter to say bleep you? And you started laughing. And it was just that, it was that amazing, amazing night. And now it's clicking for me, because your mom, when we opened the door and I was standing behind a pole thinking my career was going to be over if this didn't work. And you came over, you said, what are you doing? And I said, because if this doesn't work, I'm dead here. And George and Yogi, and the first thing your dad said to George when he arrived was, you're late. And I hear, I'm not late. And then they went into that room and I heard voices rising, and then your mom went in. And I don't know what went on in there. But then they came out arm in arm. From your side, what did you see about that night?
Well, you know, first of all, when you told me about this, I went to Dad and I said, Dad, you know, there's a strong possibility that Susan Waldman is working on this, and George would like to come to this museum and apologize, and he exploded. He goes, like hell he's coming here. He ain't coming here, and your mom won't allow him here either. And I said, hold on, Dad, hold on. You know, you've got grandkids that have never seen you in a Yankee uniform. You've got grandkids who only hear about you and have never seen you run onto that field in a Yankee uniform. They only hear about it. What about letting them see you back out there on that field? And then he said, ask your mom about that. He goes, because you know what? It was killing him that he couldn't go to Yankee Stadium and hang around the players and hang around Joe Torre and hang around locker rooms, because that's where he belonged.
Yep.
He was a fish out of water, and I knew that. I wanted to get him back there in the worst way, and having the grandkids not see him, that hurt him too. So that got him back, and of course, you're in having George apologize.
You know, it was, I remember Dale the first time, he's, well, what does he want me to apologize for? I said, I don't know, George, you did it. I wasn't there. But and I'm talking to Dale Berra, obviously. I also want to talk
to him. Exactly.
Because they had Clyde King do it.
Them.
Yep, it was Clyde King, and George didn't do it himself. And, I mean, he must have known. But when this happened, because I watched, then I got to really know your folks, and I miss your mom all the time. We had some great times together. I really adored her. And
oh, yeah.
But the things that the two of them, something happened that night, Dale, and I think it was, I know it was great for George, and I'm hoping, and I know it was great for Yogi, because Yogi was back where he belonged. He could walk in at any time. He gave people, I remember when he brought in Hank Bauer and Moose Garm to show him the new clubhouse in the new stadium and what this was, and he was like the maitre d' at the door, and everybody coming in, it was so great. And how do you think that George's and Yogi's life changed after that reunion at the museum?
Oh, I think it was great. You know, Yogi had to come back to Yankee Stadium, and you know, I think Dad's life changed once again because he wasn't a fish out of water anymore. He was back with the Yankees, back going to spring training, back hanging around the locker room, and that's what his life was all about. He loved it. And I know George, he would have never, you know, I know that it was wonderful. George couldn't live with himself without having Yogi Berra back at Yankee Stadium and doing what he had to do to get him back. So it worked out great for both guys, for sure.
And when you think, I know this, it's been 10 years since George is gone and today, and I remember that day, I remember getting that call. When you think of, with all the things, and obviously you grew up, quote unquote, a Yankee, because that's, you know, your dad was, listen, my father used to tell me, because I grew up in Boston, as you know, my father used to kid, Yogi Berra, I never saw him making out at Fenway Park ever. And your dad said, well, yeah. I must have made one. I said, my father never saw it. But he was... When you think of George and what he leaves to this team and to a legacy, what do you think of going through all this with your dad?
You know what? Dad always respected George. George wanted to win. Dad always defended George. And even when he was on the hiatus and he was mad at George, quote unquote, for not firing him in person, if someone said something about George, Dad would say, he wants to win. He wants to win. That's what George does. He wants to win. But Dad never said a bad word about anybody.
No,
he
never did.
So that's just the way he was. But he was always fine with George. You'd be surprised. Many of the times when, what about that George? He wants to win. That was before he was fired and after he said that.
Wow. Wow, that's great. Hey, did your mom, was she finally happy with that? When Yogi Berra day, when he came back and the perfect game
yes,
and all
of
that?
Course.
Okay, all right.
She
all
was, right. Mom was happy for Dad. Mom was happy for Dad. I had to go and talk to Mom after Dad. And, you know, of course, because Dad said, you talk to Mom. And I said, Mom, for the grandkids, for Dad, for the Yankees, for Joe DiMaggio, for Susan, for everybody. Dad needs to go back to Yankee Stadium. Do you agree? And you know what? There was always something about Baby Dale that I could get Mom to agree with me when Larry and Timmy couldn't. So I could always somehow get to her, and I'm saying, Mom, it's got to happen. And he said, and she said, well, if it's okay with him, it's okay with me, but George has to come and apologize. And that was it. That was it.
And he did. Talk about two men that are larger than life, Yogi Berra and George Steinbrenner.
Absolutely.
Dale, I thank you so much for taking the time tonight on this day. And a couple of things I didn't know. I didn't know that about your mom. I always thought she was a feisty little one, but I did not know that. But thank you.
Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah, she was great. She was great, your mom. Really loved her a lot. I miss them both very, very much. Dale, I thank you so much for taking time with us. I hope we can talk soon.
Okay, Susan. Thank you for having me on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.